You can remain open or open again to Psalm 133. Now I saw in my dream that thus they sat talking together until supper was ready. So when they had made ready, they sat down to meat. Now the table was furnished with fat things and with wine that was well refined. And all their talk at the table was about the Lord of the hill, as namely about what he had done, and wherefore he did what he did, and why he had builded that house. These are the words again of John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress, when Christian comes to what is called the beautiful palace, or the beautiful house. And there, if you remember, it's where he met the lions. Remember that scene? It says, the porter says, stay in the center, stay in the middle. They will not harm you. And then he welcomes him in. His daughters meeting him at the door. Charity and the others, Discretion. The names, of course, in Pilgrim's Progress, very meaningful. Then they come and they have this conversation, and then they sit down for this lovely meal. I was listening to a series by Pastor Derek Thomas on Pilgrim's Progress, and he mentioned how Bunyan has these different scenes where there's lovely food. He says John Bunyan loved his food. but he pictures these scenes where you have this this rich feast that is spread, yes, on the table. And I think nearly every one of those scenes is actually a picture for Bunyan of the church. And when the church is together, it's the meal that is enjoyed together. And he says, the food we eat is luxury food. Is that your experience of gathering, of being together with the saints? Or would you say, I eat better elsewhere? Well, this message is meant as a sort of a tag on the series on worship. And especially Pastor John's words, I think in more than one sermon, he said something like, I can't wait until church next Sunday. I can't wait until church. Is that how you feel? I can't wait until the Lord's Day to be together again. Because of all it means to be together as pilgrims. So here we are in Psalm 133. This is a short psalm. It is short, but it is sweet. It is rich. This theme of pilgrims together. So this is, again, a song of ascent. Now, I preached a sermon on another one of these psalms, on 121. These are the ascents, as in going up, psalms. They are songs for pilgrims. Pilgrims on their way, such as Psalm 121, which we covered. Remember, the pilgrim was leaving on his journey. He's going to face dangers and difficulties. He lifts up his eyes to the hills, asking where his help will come from. And the Lord is his help, right? The answer of the psalm is, the Lord will keep you on your journey. And some of these psalms are, they are definitely there in the midst of difficulties and dangers in the face of enemies. But this is one of those psalms where I believe the pilgrims are there. They are in the city, in festal gathering. Alleluia. Notice the frame of this psalm. It speaks of brothers being dwelling in unity, right? Dwelling together in unity. And then at the end of the psalm, it speaks of Zion, right? The mountains of Zion, where the Lord has commanded the blessing. You see, I believe this takes us into the city. And for the feast where the pilgrims are gathered to worship the Lord, which is the greatest joy for his pilgrims. And these are songs for us as sons and daughters of Zion through the promised Son, Jesus. We can say, like in Psalm 87, if you know that psalm, it's among those who know me, I mention Rahab and Babylon, behold Philistia and Tyre with Cush. Speaking of Jerusalem here, this one was born there, they say. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. For the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord records as he registers the peoples, this one was born there. And we can say today, through Christ, I was born there. My birth comes from Zion, the heavenly city. I am a son or a daughter of Zion. So songs for us. And this too, this is one of the songs of ascents. Maybe these were gathered later, these songs. But some of them, there's songs of David here, of King David, this psalm. Now here is a king who could appreciate the challenge of pilgrimage, couldn't he? He was not only a pilgrim, he was a fugitive, right? He was on the run, fleeing from King Saul all those years before he came to the throne. But then it was under David's reign that Zion was established, yes? Jerusalem, God's city. And then when the Ark of the Covenant was brought up there, you remember the joy of King David? He couldn't contain it. He leapt and danced at that moment when the Ark of the Covenant came to the city. What it meant for God's presence to be there among his people. And so David led the way. King David, that man after God's heart. And this psalm is a moment like that. It is a moment of pure joy for David. So, let's consider this psalm and what it means for us. For us who, again, through David's son, have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. Let's see what this means for our unity and for our experience together as pilgrims. Verse 1, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Point one, how good and pleasant to be together. How good and pleasant it is. It is good. That may not sound like a very special word. You know, we like to use superlatives in our world, you know. Is it great? Is it, you know, awesome or, right? But good is a beautiful word in Scripture because it speaks of God's design. It speaks of how he has ordered the world. Remember Genesis chapters 1 and 2? It was good. It was good. It was very good, all of it. Yes? And then in chapter 2, when man was by himself, and God says it's not good for man to be alone. And what a good gift he gave when he gave man, woman. Just thinking of Valentine's Day yesterday. I hope the men in here appreciate. We must appreciate the gift. But if we think in a larger way of the goodness of human community, of community together as God meant it to be. And it was so in the beginning before the fall. Ah, here we are. Often, it's not so good in our experience. Even in church, that may be your experience. But notice how good and pleasant. Because it is good, because it is God's design and his ordering, it is pleasant. It is, the word could mean beautiful, delightful. It's to be enjoyed. It is a joy, a pleasure for us when brothers dwell in unity. The communion of the saints. Some think the brothers here, it's family. David's saying, isn't it good when family, you know, and we get along in our families? I think he means it more broadly. I think he means all the brothers and the sisters in God's family, dwelling together as in a moment like as would be at that feast. And I just imagine David, as it were, up on the wall or just kind of looking out over this festal gathering and all these people gathered with joy in the city. And oh, how good, how pleasant this is. What a pleasure it is to be together in this way. And how David felt it as, again, as the king. He led the way. Now, this is, to be together, it does mean to be, we need to be together in every way. This isn't just physical, right, that we're in the city. I don't think that's all that David means when he says dwelling together in unity. It seems the NIV kind of brings both of those. The word can mean together, in unity. So this is truly to be together. It is to be united. United in what? That's the question, right? Our world speaks about this all the time. It is the mantra of the modern world. Well, we need to be in unity. We need to be together. We are better together and stronger together. Well, if we'd ask together in what? How are we together? Where do we find that? Well, I believe in Psalm 133, if we think about the theology that unites God's people, that should unite them. And I'm just thinking about it in a limited way across these pilgrim psalms. What is the theology of true pilgrims? Well, they trust in the Lord to save them and preserve them and provide all they need on pilgrimage. They are committed to following the Lord's way. It is the pilgrim way, and this is like Pilgrim's Progress. It is the only way, and I follow His way. Amen? And then they are not at home anywhere but in that city, the heavenly city in Pilgrim's Progress, the celestial city, in the Lord's city. And again, in the context of these psalms, it would be Jerusalem going up to those feasts. That it's where their belonging is and their home, their identity is in the city. Well, is that our vision today? Do we have is that the theology that drives us and our pilgrim vision? Our trust in the Lord? Our commitment to obey Him? And our sense of identity, it is not in this world. It is in the city to where we belong. And the King who reigns there. This is how Hebrews speaks of where we have come. Let me read from Hebrews 12. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. Now the mountain he's speaking of there, you may understand, it's Mount Sinai, yes, where God gave the law. And it was fear and trembling at that mountain, if you remember, when the Lord came down. And even for Moses, now the preacher, he turns to his hearers. He says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering. You've come, as it were, to the foot of that mountain where that worship is happening there, that gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. That is the mountain to which we have come this morning. Let the weight of that, just feel the weight of that. That'll shape your vision as a pilgrim in this world. And then if it shapes us together in unity, then we're going to enjoy the blessing of this psalm, aren't we? How good and pleasant it is. We'll enjoy it Lord's Day by Lord's Day in these gatherings until we come to the final gathering in glory. Amen? You see? And if we're not experiencing it that way, then it might be a problem with our pilgrim vision and our eyes are diverted to the world. We are maybe in our own selfish worlds and we come to church and it's as if it's a performance. This truly, this when this pilgrim vision sinks into the depths of our minds and hearts, it will motivate us in gathering. It will motivate us. It motivates worship, doesn't it? And it motivates us to be together because of what we share in Christ. That makes all the difference. That should make our gatherings as pilgrim brothers and sisters a rich blessing. Should experience this, how good and pleasant it is to be together. Number two, how sacred the service shared by all. So now after that exclamation, it's like David is, he's reaching for pictures. You know, what is this like? How do I describe it? Verse two, it is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard. On the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. Now that's interesting. That's an interesting picture. If someone asked you, can you describe what your experience is like with your brothers and sisters on a Sunday? Maybe you wouldn't think of, you know, it's like oil coming down. But it's a beautiful picture, especially because in view, and I'm not just saying that because I have a beard. Okay, I do like my beard, but it's because in view we have Aaron. David's mind goes back to Aaron being anointed for his high priestly office. Exodus 29. This is verse 7. You shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head, and anoint him, and down that oil runs, you know, in this beautiful picture. Now that's interesting. So this pilgrim brotherhood, this unity and what we enjoy together, it's like it's priestly, almost like how he's describing it. You know, that was sacred oil, right? That was the consecration in the consecration of Aaron for his high priestly office. You know what? It's like it's precious. It's priestly. Priestly. It's almost like I'm anticipating in this psalm, in the New Testament, the priesthood of every believer in Christ. Amen? Every brother and sister in this pilgrim gathering, all who are in Christ, you are a priest. I am a priest because he is our great high priest. Amen? And so we share in this service to one another in unity as we are united together. There is a holy ministry we have to one another. And again, all this sacred oil and Aaron, there's a set apartness to it. And the holiness there. Again, how much more with David's son, Jesus. You know, when you come to Hebrews 2, and these beautiful verses where it speaks of how God, in bringing many sons to glory, he made the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. He says, for he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all of one. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. He calls us brothers, sisters, our Lord Jesus, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. This is a string of pearls, different quotes here. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me, my brothers, my sisters, you see. Dear friends, our great high priest, our high king, he leads us in worship this morning. Not Frank, ultimately, not me. Christ leads our worship. But then in a beautiful way, like this verse says, it flows down. It flows down. And if we wanted to speak of the ministry of the Spirit in this way, through the whole body, the whole body. You have that priestly privilege and responsibility, every one of you, toward one another. And that's why we must be one in Christ and minister to one another his grace. You notice that sanctification was mentioned in Hebrews 2. And again, if I can just touch on that theme a little more of how it sanctifies us. It sanctifies us in the way Christ works to fortify us as pilgrims, to set us apart, to kind of brace us for the realities of what it means to be pilgrims in this world. And again, through the ministry of one another, not just this preacher, but through our ministry to one another. Listen to Hebrews 3. Here's the next chapter. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. That's the warning in Hebrews 3. But then he says, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another. Exhort one another today. Encourage one another. We have come from the last week and our pilgrim ways. And I don't know where you have come from. The burdens, the dangers, the difficulties you have faced, spiritually speaking, on your journey. Pilgrim brother, sister, we need the exhortation and encouragement of one another. That's what we need in fellowship today. We need to press in as pilgrims do. And if you go back in Pilgrim's Progress and that story, some of you were telling me after the last message how you grew up with it. You're hearing it in school, that story. Do you remember there was that conversation and those young women, they asked him so many good questions. But to ask one another to with wisdom minister the grace of Christ to one another so that we're fortified, we're strengthened, we're sanctified through this gathering this morning. We experience the blessing, how good and pleasant it is. Amen. So, how good and pleasant it is to be together, how sacred the service shared by all. And then number three, how refreshing, yes, life-giving is his blessing. It is like, verse three, the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Well, that's interesting. Towering Mount Hermon, the tallest peak in Israel. And it was proverbial for heavy dew, that mountain. Mount Zion, not so much. It's in the south, right? We understand, like, that's, right? Philip, you've been there, right? More of a desert toward the south there, right? Okay, when you go further south, it's more like desert area. It's not as dewy on the mountains there. So what does this mean? It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. Well, there are different opinions, but my understanding would be that this is for Zion, which doesn't really get dew. This is the heavy dew of Zion, David is saying. This is the heavy dew, the refreshment for Zion. And even how with dew, it could be for drinking, for the plants on the mountain, right? What it would be, perhaps for other, you know, the animals there on the mountain. that this is the refreshment, and this is where we find our life. It's life-giving. The Lord gives life through it. This is our refreshment together. What we experience when we are united together in Christ, and when we gather, when we are together before Him. You see? This united brotherhood. It's like those moments you find them in the New Testament. Remember Paul, all that he had been through going to Rome, right? He goes through a shipwreck in chapter 27. And then he comes to 28. And there we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and three taverns to meet us. There were brothers who came in love, came to Paul and met him there. And on seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. Oh, how refreshing it must have been for Paul to see them. And then Philemon, verse 16, may the Lord grant mercy, to Timothy. This is to Timothy. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Isn't that beautiful? He often refreshed me, was not ashamed of my chains. Is that how others experience you in gathering? He is so refreshing. She is so refreshing. Her ministry of love, his encouragement. Is that our experience? In a way, this is a challenge, but in a way, this is a celebration. However you've experienced that in church, give God glory. How good and pleasant it is. But we know where we fail. This is actually where the church has, it's one of the places the church has most often failed, is to be united, to be one. And either way, either when there are fights over inconsequential things, and the things that can, where there can be offense taken and we stumble into sin, or on the other hand, where it's in the name of unity where we're compromised. We have compromised the truth. We have compromised our calling. But either way, this is how the body is fractured. And there is a song, we've sung it here before, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, the one by the Gettys, right? And it always strikes me in that second verse, I love that second verse where he says, we were once strangers chasing selfish ways, but now we are one through grace alone. And then they ask this question, how could I now dishonor the ones that you have loved? And may that be the question we ask from week to week. We come to church. How could I now dishonor the ones that you have loved? But all that to say, and we're coming to a close now, is that for where we have failed, this blessing, I want you to remember this, this is what this psalm proclaims to us. This blessing comes down from heaven by the grace of God in Christ. We do not work it up. I have challenged you, but it is by the power of the gospel. It comes down from heaven by God's grace. Did you notice it? For a psalm, remember, this is a song of ascent, right? It's about going up. But for a song of going up, there's a lot of coming down in this psalm, right? Let me again, verse 2. This oil running down. And then he repeats it, running down. And then in verse 3, falling, it's falling, this dew on the mountain of Zion, this spiritual refreshment. It comes to us by grace in Jesus. Yes? You know, David's reign, as much as it was blessed, it was not unalloyed blessing, was it, the reign of David? We all know the moment, yes? The moment of adultery and murder against one of his brothers, one of those mighty men so loyal to him that when he comes back from battle and David says, it's okay, you know, go sleep with your wife. He's trying to cover his tracks, and Uriah will not do it. He sleeps right there. So loyal was he. And David was false to his brother, wasn't he? In that story. And trouble followed his house all the way from there. You can follow it in the story, yes? So it had to be one unlike David who never failed. David's son, hallelujah, his promised son, who when he came, and even when he was, yes, betrayed by a turncoat among his disciples, he was denied, they ran away, and what did he do? He drank that cup, as one pastor says it, for his brothers, when he's there in the garden. Father, is there any other way? Let this cup pass from me if it's possible, but not your will, not my will, yours be done. And he drank that cup all the way down for us, pilgrim brothers and sisters. That's what our King did. He drank it all the way down, bore the shame of our sin when we have failed to love and honor one another, when we have failed to be one, because of that, our experience has been far from good and pleasant when being together. He drank that cup. He bore the curse to bring us blessing, to bring us this blessing this morning. So truly it comes down, it flows down from our head, from our priest King Jesus, you see, this morning. That should encourage you. That should encourage you and me where we have failed. Take courage by faith. Let your vision be refreshed by the gospel this morning. What Christ has done for us, what he has promised us. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing. He has commanded the blessing. How beautiful. Who can turn back his command? He has commanded blessing. What's the blessing? Life. Life forevermore. It is everlasting life that ultimately sons and daughters of Zion enjoy. Again, seeing the fulfillment of this in Jesus. We haven't yet seen, of course, the consummation when the heavenly Jerusalem comes down from heaven. But we know it will be everlasting life and everlasting feast that we will enjoy. How good and pleasant it is. Will it be when we are together with him in glory? Amen. And I trust we have heard his voice over ours in this congregation this Lord's Day, leading our worship. How good, how pleasant. It's no wonder that this exercised David's poetic gifts trying to describe it. But let's be encouraged then. We are celebrating it this morning, but in such a way, you see how this psalm is wooing us. He's wooing us. How good and pleasant. Don't you want more? Don't you want more of this blessing? Of the blessings that we enjoy, spiritual and heavenly, and will enjoy forever because our brotherhood is everlasting as our life is everlasting. We are brothers and sisters forever in Christ. Isn't that awesome? So, love the gathering, love being together, and press into the ministry to one another? How can I minister the grace of Christ that will sanctify and strengthen my brother or sister today? How can I refresh and encourage my brothers and sisters today? Ask those questions. Ask them because you want more. I want more. We want more of this blessing. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this gracious gift that comes down from heaven. It is undeserved, we know, where we have all failed and at times been false to one another as brothers and sisters, where we have failed to honor and love one another, and then have failed to enjoy this blessing. We thank you for your Son, our gracious Savior, our head and Lord, our high priest and King, who leads us in worship this morning. Otherwise, how could we worship you? Thank you for his work by the Holy Spirit among us. How good and pleasant it is, Lord, to be together before you. Oh, may our hearts be charged with this blessing. May we be motivated to press into unity together in Christ and being together as we can be on the Lord's Day. And whenever we gather, Lord, may it be our joy. May we experience how sacred it is. And yes, how refreshing. And yes, life-giving from you, O Lord. And so bless us, Lord, we pray. Bless United Evangelical Fellowship. May we truly be united in Christ. Amen.